Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kesource family production. In this episode, we're going to talk about always being a student, taking the stairs, and horse jumping. Our guest today is Eric DiGiacomo, founder of XPhys Conditioning. Eric is from Charlotte, North Carolina, where he lives with his wife. Eric is a certified exercise physiologist through the American College of Sports Medicine. With a bachelor's degree in exercise science and experience with prehab, corrective exercise, sports performance, strength training, and personal fitness, Eric offers personalized, in-depth, and intentionally thorough coaching. Eric brings perspective of a business owner in the fitness industry who knows you can't build yourself or your business without understanding how everything works together. With his experiences in the gym and in the business world, we are thrilled to share his story with you, and we know his simple insights will lead you to having better daily habits. Let's get into it. Eric, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives Podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to go two rounds. First round, we'll go deep. Second round, we're going to go rapid fire. You ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
All right. So how many days a week do you work out?
It really depends on a particular day and particular type of week I have, depending on my goals. But I usually try to work out 3 times a week with two days of mobility and flexibility training.
Okay, so you're not like the one of those people that say you have to work out every single day and just destroy your body and just pushing it to the limit every second, right?
Correct.
All right, very cool.
We don't want to do that.
No, we don't. We're going to get more into that story here in a little bit, but definitely want to learn more about you. So you heard the intro about you, can't do you justice
Absolutely.
In one opening statement. So tell us something real that the audience wouldn't know.
Good question. I think one of the things that about me that probably the audience doesn't know is I'm a typical nerd. I love to learn. I love to get in the books, read something new, read something interesting, really dive into something that is, kind of pertains to my field. And I love anatomy. I love physiology and how the body works. I love math. I just really enjoy how all the systems work in terms of how the body is supposed to be moving and how it's supposed to be growing and how that kind of correlates to improving our wellness. So,
yeah, that's great. So what's interesting about that is that's one of the things that drew us to you is you didn't, mm-hmm. There's so many people in the physical fitness space right now in business. And sometimes you just get concerned, like, do they really know how all the things work mm-hmm. together? And
right.
Ask you the first question, and with you're not just saying it, you're actually living it, and you're learning mm-hmm. it, that you put it all together. And that, again, like I said before, that's one of the reasons why we were drawn to you and your company. So with that in mind, tell us about your company, XPhys Conditioning.
Yes. So many people are limited by chronic pain and nagging injuries most of the time, and I help people learn how to move better. And just help them kind of understand how to move in a certain way so that we can reduce the pain, become more active, and conquer goals that they never thought they could. So that's basically what my XPhys Conditioning is all about.
Yeah, no, sometimes it's that simple, but obviously behind mm-hmm. the scenes, like we just talked about, it goes into a lot more. It gets a lot more complicated than that.
Right.
Which we love about it because you have to be able to explain that to someone in a very simple way and get down mm-hmm. to it and know that they can trust you to say, this is the guy that I want working with me and my
right.
My physical condition. So, all right, so you have your company. You obviously have a lot of things going for you and the way that you put it all together. But what's your ultimate goal for XPhys Conditioning?
I think my ultimate goal is to give people a chance to improve themselves physically and mentally, because I think the biggest thing in terms of physical wellness is the mental game. I think a lot of times, in order to get us or anybody to be physically well, you have to be mentally well as well. That makes sense. I think that in order to even improve in our goals, you have to be able to be mentally training your body or mentally training your brain to actually do what you want to accomplish. So
Yeah, so your goal is to get people to understand how it all works together, but then so you're bringing the mind into it to help them achieve these obstacles that they thought would probably be impossible to achieve without you, and then having them create this own belief in themselves that they can get this done. Is that right?
I mean, if to make it simple, it's basically behavioral fitness. You know, it's kind of understanding how to change our behavior in order to get to our goals. Because a lot of times, you know, we mess up, even myself, on eating or maybe, you know, working out or just making excuses for ourselves. But really getting a, you know, kind of a routine and a consistency that is going to encourage growth.
Okay. And so like when you make that mistake that you're just talking about, like we're all human. That's what I was talking about before. Like we're not perfect. We can't, yeah, hey, I missed a day working out, or it just wasn't working for me today, or other things happened, or I got some Ben and Jerry's ice cream last night, which is a true fact. And it's like, man, what were you thinking? But you're like, you know, you just needed it at that time. Is that like where you just, you can't punish yourself, right? But so how do you, obviously you handle it well, and then how do you work with your clients on making sure that don't beat yourself up too bad, like just get back on track. Like, how do you handle that?
So what I usually tell people is, you know, one ice cream is not going to make you fat. One salad is not going to make you healthy. So it's all about, you know, having this balance and having this consistency of ramping up good habits so that you know, when you do make a, you know, not so good habit, that, you know, you're well, you're fine. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of this balance between how am I going to kind of give myself a buffer of good habits so that if I do partake into something that is, you know, may not be as good for me, then you're, you know, your body will be fine.
Okay. No, and that's a lot of things. So I think you're talking about habits. So a lot of times this starts with children, right? So they get bad eating habits at a young age, and you just kind of learn it. And it was interesting. We're sitting at dinner last night, and my middle child, daughter, doesn't eat bad, but she's, you know, they don't love vegetables, right? Like what 10 or 11, 12-year-old really does. But really what you're talking about is developing those habits to say, try it. Develop a taste for it, have the habit of actually eating it. So then when you do have the not so great meal, as we're talking about nutrition now, obviously, you're not destroying yourself. You're not so upset by it. You can get back to your habit. That's kind of where you're going with it. And so I'm assuming the earlier you start, the better it is. So any children listening to this podcast, they should, you know, take that, that it's serious, right? Okay. So, and then about when someone's working, it's hard, right? It's nonstop.
Correct.
You're running a
Very much.
business, and we're going to get into that. And it's doing things in the morning. It's getting to the office. It's getting to work. You're in meetings. You have to eat, right? You have to have something really quick. You got food in your office. You got bagels and donuts and coffee and cream and whatever other snacks might be around. You run across the street to Chick-fil-A and get food. And you know, who doesn't like Chick-fil-A? But it's like,
That's
how do
right.
you, you know, you have a different way of thinking through that and also staying, move, keep moving, because you're sitting at a desk all day. A lot of people are just staring at a computer screen, sitting down in a chair. This isn't good stuff anymore. And a lot of studies are coming out to suggest, not suggest, to prove the point that, you know, smoking is the, or sitting is the new smoking. So how do you
Correct.
talk to
It is
people
very
about
true.
that? And yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So I think that in terms of the workplace and definitely in the corporate environment, it becomes, you know, this norm that people get into where, you know, hey, I work at a desk, I sit down, I work, and but they don't really kind of intentionally think about what it's actually doing to their bodies and how it really affects them in a long-term basis. I think that what I like to tell people is all the time is every 20, 30 minutes, get up, walk around, and stand up, you know, opening up your arms, you know, get a little bit more movement up in your thoracic spine, upper body, and really just change position. You know, changing positions is actually good posture because a lot of times, even though if you're in a sitting position with correct posture for hours and hours, it's not good posture. So a lot of times people overcompensate for different things, and then at the end of the day, they're like, "Oh man, I feel terrible. I feel crap." You know, it's all about like their physical bodies at the end of the day when they've been using their minds all day as well. So.
So how do you convince people, not convince people because you just convinced us, but how do you get them to think this way? Is it just, again, going back to the habit conversation you were having with us?
Yes, I think the way I would possibly convince people to stand up is to actually get them to do it once or twice. You know, hey, do this for one day and see how you feel. Because I think a lot of times the testimony of what they do for themselves is a bigger light bulb for them than another testimony for somebody else, if that makes
sure.
sense.
Sure, it does.
Because a lot of times, you know, if it happens for you and it works, it's like, oh, wow, that makes sense. You know, it works. It helps. You know, and I think that also can be ingrained in their minds of when they're sitting at their desks. Oh, wait, you know, this somebody said so-and-so said to stand up, and hey, let me stand up for a couple minutes, see how that works.
Right.
Yeah,
so, and it's interesting, too, because that's another thing that drew us to you is that one size doesn't fit all. Right? Just
correct.
You know, the way
mm-hmm.
you do something might be different the way I do something. It doesn't make us wrong. It's just you have to be moving, right? At the end of the day, you're just talking about changing positions, about moving, about creating good
right.
habits, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're giving this advice. We're hearing it. It's really good advice. You were with a company before you started your business, and people
right.
started telling you, Eric, you have some really good stuff. You really help us out. Like, you should be doing this for your own business. So when you have
right.
coworkers or other people encouraging you to start your own business, what was that like?
I think it was quite interesting. I think that it wasn't as kind of a big, awesome idea at the time, but I think that it's been something on my mind for a while, but never really got around to doing it. I think having people encouraging this idea has helped me push this idea along a little bit better. But I think that being able to do something like this on my own and being able to do it for myself and do it my own way and my technique and my kind of delivery has been really, first of all, I've improved a lot self-wise, but also being able to help people in my own particular way has been really amazing, and it's been fruitful, and I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, because you've always enjoyed everything you've done around, you know, being in fitness, right? So that hasn't
correct.
Changed. The only thing that's changed is where you hang your hat, like where are you working? And now you're doing it
mm-hmm.
for yourself, for your business. Now,
right.
ultimately, you're doing it for your clients as well, but it's an amazing thing once you get to that level. Like you if you're out there talking, I'm gonna ask you this question towards the end too, in a different way maybe. But if you're talking to someone else who's at a business and who has this itch and says, man, I want to build this. I want to do this. But then you think about mm-hmm. it, you're like, you know, fitness, you know, all this stuff. And then running a business is like two different things, right?
Yeah.
There's books
totally
on
good.
It. There's story. Yeah. So like, talk to us about that eye-opening experience.
Yes. I think that it would have been great to have had some business courses underneath my belt, but I think it's been a great learning experience to kind of dive into. I think there's a lot more to it than I thought it was going to be, but I think again at the end of the day, you know, it's all about the learning experience and just understanding how business should be run, and I'm always learning right now and how to make it better, how to improve clients' experience and be a better company. So I think that it's been a great step, and it's been a great move.
So you're talking about improving yourself all the time, just physically, right? And you're talking to other people about
mm-hmm.
it. But you also, at the very beginning of this conversation, talked about always learning, self-improvement around everything else. Like,
right.
how are you doing
right.
this? How are you helping your clients? How are you having conversations like you're having with us? How are you constantly improving yourself? I mean, you say you read a lot. Is that it? Listening, interviewing people? How do you get to that point?
Yes, I think it's very important. I think that everyone should always be a student. You know, I think that's the mentality I always have. I'm never a master at anything because, you know, that's, you know, part of humility, understanding, hey, I need to always grow. I want to provide people tools based on sound movement and fitness practices. You know, I don't want to give people information that is, you know, not correct or doesn't help them at all. So I want to make sure I improve myself so that I can actually help people much better than I was yesterday. So I think that at the end of the day, again, it's all about the information we give people and making sure that they can actually utilize it and actually learn from it.
Yeah, I know. That makes a lot of sense. So as you go through your days and as you're learning, as you're building your business, as you're helping other people on their journey, what kind of help do you have to get these things done internally for the business I'm talking about?
So I think that my help comes from my, I guess my intentionality in terms of, hey, how can I get this going? How can I improve this? But also my wife also helps me a lot with my business and how it, everything goes and runs. And she's been a great help in improving what I do. And I can't thank her enough.
Yeah, that's amazing because, you know, so many people want to go down this journey of being an entrepreneur, being a business owner by themselves, and that's admirable, right? And oftentimes you are by yourself, but whether it's your wife or a business partner or, you know, mentors or whatever it is, I think anybody out there who's trying to do these things, whether you're within an organization, you're a salesperson and just trying to get better, or whether you're actually truly going out on your own, becoming that true entrepreneur business owner, you need someone out there. And who that is, you know, is it might be, like you said, your most trusted person in your life, like your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. Yep. So she's doing a lot of the day-to-day stuff, maybe? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, she kind of has a hand in the website and the social media. She posts the different things. And I'm the one that interacts with clients.
That's perfect. So, I mean, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. The yin and the yang. It's who can yep. offset you a little bit so you can go and focus on what you do best and vice versa.
Right.
So that's pretty awesome. So like, all right, so you're working, you're obviously out and about, you know, meeting with people, helping them train. And as you did before, if someone's in the workplace though, you know, taking walks during the day, we hear a lot about standing desks, taking a walk. You know, as I sit here, I can look out my window. We're on Providence Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, you can, you got to cross a pretty busy street and the street's getting a little bit crazier, but you can walk to lunch. Yep. You can take the stairs. Like, what's your feelings around all those things? Are those things that you encourage your clients to do as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's very vital. I think the biggest thing most of the time is the fact that most people don't realize how good it is for them to stand every so often, take the stairs, or even walk to lunch. I think that the biggest part of it is forgetting that they should be doing it and how it actually improves their health. And I think it's one of those things that kind of is always on the back burner of different things in our lives, especially when we're working in the workplace. Like, we don't think about that. We don't think about, hey, let me get up and let me stand, let me walk to lunch. You know, I think we're always, especially in America, it's always now, right? And so we want to go and sit at our desk, eat lunch. You know, we don't want to take the stairs, we want to take the elevator. So I think it's all about convenience sometimes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it's again, going back, and this is, we've had this theme on this podcast since the beginning, since we started it. And certain entrepreneurs, or I'd say all entrepreneurs, bring a common theme with them. And I think one of your themes is habits, is developing the good habits, whether that's your business, whether that's in fitness, whether that's in learning, whether that's in, you know, talking to people and doing these things, and whether it's telling someone, hey, just get in the habit of walking to lunch or taking the stairs every day. It's like compound interest. Like, you do a little bit and it just kind of stacks on top of each other. Like, you don't think you're getting a lot out of it, but the more you do it, it's only going to help you, right? So, that's good. Okay. So, you're a coach, and we have a content platform, as you know, called Sportspreneur, and we talk about business, create analogies between sports and entrepreneurship. And we had an article, and we thought it rang true with you, and it's called You've Got This. So simply put, John, who works with us, tells one of his stories of going through a slump in baseball. And what happened was, during his slump, his coach kept pushing him and saying, man, you've got this, you've got this. And we can look at it in fitness as well, because it's really hard for people. And it's important for the coach or the mentor, whoever that is, to be there to motivate, inspire, and help that person. So as a trainer, as a coach, what do you tell clients when they're just feeling like, I can't do this?
Right. I think what my go-to advice is for them is, every day is a new slate. Because I think that when you get people to start on their first step, that's the most crucial, you know, time. And you know, a lot of times when people make mistakes, they, you know, kind of gloom over it and they feel depressed or whatnot. And when I tell them every day is a new slate, you know, let's say, for example, they make a good habit or a good decision, a good choice on a particular day. That's great. But tomorrow is a new slate. So let's say they make the, you know, not so good decision the next day. The next day is a new slate. So it's kind of like giving them a free, kind of like a free week, a free day, so that they don't have to be thinking, oh man, I did something, or I did a terrible decision yesterday. So I think that kind of giving them a kind of hope of like, hey, the next day is a new slate.
Yeah.
And also give them a kind of like a simple statement. I usually tell them, stick to the basics and stay consistent. And that's basically what kind of drives people. Oh yeah, I should go back to the basics and just try to stay consistent as possible.
Yeah. Well, I'm just making notes. That's why I was kind of delayed there because these are great.
Yeah, okay.
These are great.
Yeah.
And we're going to, I mean, we have to have these in the show notes. Like these are the types of things. This applies to anybody.
Right. Yeah.
When you look at it that way, again, going back to the beginning of what you're saying, it's really simple. It's that simple of just, it's a new slate. It's a new day. Be present.
Right.
All those types of things. We had, Chris Covert, who was on a podcast earlier on, and he's a sports psychologist, and he talks a lot about being present in the moment. And one of the questions we had asked him was, if you're a golfer and you had just three putted the previous green, and now you're back and you're on the next hole and you're staring at a three putt again, it's like, what do you do? And he talked a lot about that on the podcast, about recognizing where you were, and then you have a new slate, and it's okay to be mad about that,
right,
but then moving forward and moving on, and it's just focusing on what's in front of you and not over concerning yourself with what happened in the past. But the way you put it and the way you simplified it, that's strong. And I think you can use that really in anything, obviously in fitness, but you know, no matter what you're doing in life. So that's excellent. And so now you offer a unique service in your training, horse jump training. What's that all about?
Yeah. So I started this a couple months ago actually. And I think that it's been something that's been, passion of mine, because I have had a few students and a few clients that horseback ride, and I started to train them a good bit, and I started to learn a little bit of the industry and kind of what they need and what they need to improve in. And one of my clients, she does competitions, and I just realized, wow, this is something that is not known or really been dived into in terms of physical wellness and physical performance. And so I just got to know her, got to know the horse community a little bit, and understanding the needs. And so the biggest thing about this is basically, just like in any athlete, they need to get stronger, they need to get more stable, they need to get, you know, a lot more flexible in certain areas, more mobility, and a lot more training. And so a lot of times people don't realize that horseback riding does take a lot out of a person in terms of physical ability. And so being able to train someone that has never, you know, trained on a horse before, and then putting them on a horse makes a huge difference in terms of their performance.
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible niche that you have. So
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, if I'm gonna, you know, get into horse jumping, I need to find the expert in that area, and that becomes you. Not to say that that's all you do, but it's an incredible niche to bring people into your circle. I mean, because horse riding or anything along those lines is very defined, and I think that's great. I mean, I think that's for any entrepreneur, any business owner. Like, sometimes we want to just go out and, you know, go miles wide, and it's like, wait, if you just jump right into this little thing, you really can open up your market. Have you seen that play out for you?
Yes, I think it has. I think that being able to kind of tell people that I am, you know, focusing on horseback riders and seeing the interest in that has been really good. And I've been able to talk to a good friend of mine that is a horse trainer, and she's been able to, you know, get me connected to some other people around her, and being able to actually hook myself up with them, and kind of giving myself another connection to help other people as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. So, and that kind of ties into the amount of competition that exists in the fitness arena. And there's just so many people. You just open up the Instagram app and type in any of those words, any of the buzzwords around it, and it's like Man, is it really? I guess anyone can do this like overnight. Like, yeah, there's certifications and all that kind of stuff, and there's studies you can do. But sometimes it's hard. Like, I don't have time to maybe look up all your credentials. So, how do you market yourself to your clients? I mean, obviously, you have the horse jumping thing. That's a good one because someone could look you up. But how do you proactively go about and do it?
Right. So basically, what I do in order to kind of market myself is to really be real with people. I think that a lot of times, you know, a lot of people are in pain. A lot of people are injured, and a lot of people are in a physical state that they can't get out of in terms of chronic, or you know, they have a, you know, kind of hitting a wall in the physical performance. I think the biggest thing for me is kind of getting to know them and really have them see that I actually care. You know, I think it's not all about image when it comes to me. I think all the times it's all about wellness and how can I get them better. I think conveying that to them and understanding, hey, this guy doesn't want my money, he wants to actually make me better, is a really big selling point for me, is because I think that is the point. That is the point of what I do. The point isn't, okay, let me try to get all these people into through my doors and I try to get them, you know, whatever they want. Right. But then if I actually see them and see what they actually need, and then they actually see that I actually care for what they actually need, then, you know, that's when they really understand, wow, this guy, you know, means it.
I get it. You're doing the one at a time, one by one.
Correct.
You're meeting with people and it seems unscalable, but that's the difference. That's the difference maker. It's man, this guy really does care, as you were saying. He really gets it, and then they can make a decision one way or the other if they want to work with you or not, and then you can move on with your day.
Right.
And just one at a time. And sometimes that's the way to go about it, as opposed to, you know, so much is being done now in the passive world and getting a thousand clients at a time, and it's like, no, you know, just go get the next client. Or not even to get the next client, go make a difference in one person's life like you're doing. And they're seeing that, and then that's outstanding. So I mean, you talk a lot about habits. You talk a lot about, you know, working things together. Obviously, you're doing that in your business life and helping other people. We appreciate you sharing that on our podcast. I think it's helped us out.
Sure.
Saying before, I'm making notes. You've met with people in our group, Rudy and Shane, and some others, and you know, made a difference in what they've said, and they've all came away very impressed. So we definitely appreciate you bringing that, you know, insight to us. This podcast episode of Entrepreneurial Perspectives is brought to you by CASCM. CASCM helps you, the business owner, engage with your audience like never before. CASCM partners with business owners like you to help you create your online presence through content marketing, which includes website development, content creation, content distribution, and social media management. From developing your story to execution, CASCM engages your audience. This is CASCM's passion. This is what CASCM does in its own business, and CASCM is excited to bring these services to you. Want to learn more? Simply visit CASCM.com. You know, as we talked about before, that was like the let's get deep with it part of the podcast. Now we want to go a little bit more, a little faster, a little rapid fire. So we'll go quick. But
awesome.
If you have any questions back to us, you know, let us know. But let's get going. You ready?
Yep, I am.
All right, cool. So what book are you reading right now?
The Back Mechanic by Stuart McGill.
What is your favorite social media network for business?
I would say Instagram.
What is it about Instagram that you like the most?
I think that it's easy, it's quick, and it gets to the point. I'll also be able to, you know, put some videos out there for people to kind of explain certain things. It's a little bit more succinct than Facebook is and Twitter is, and it kind of gives a little bit more of a picture of what the my topic is about.
I agree. You can go right to Instagram and you can kind of get a glimpse into their world a little bit just at a glance, and that's always nice to have. All right, so that's your favorite. Now go on the opposite side of it. Not necessarily your least favorite, but what social media app in business has you the most confused?
I think that Twitter is probably the most confusing, and that's not so much confusing, but as in terms of like hashtags and things like that, it's something that I haven't really dived into, and how that can actually pull people into your I guess post. But it's not something that, you know, I can't use, but something that I'm not really using as much.
Yeah, and it's a fire hose. I mean, we've talked about this before. It's a fire hose of information. People are standing up at the top of a mountain just talking, 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 and it's like, man, I can't see through this. Where really Twitter is just the open invitation cocktail party, I would say. It's like where you can actually, if I'm talking with, and we said Rudy's name before, if I'm talking with Rudy about a topic and you weren't in that conversation, you could actually come into that conversation and contribute to it. And or you can have like one-on-one talk. So it's more of an engaging app, but a lot of people, and you can definitely put your content out there. You can share your Instagram post, and that's great. And I might see it, and I might go to him, be like, oh, that's really cool. I'm glad he did that. But I think it's more of the engagement. It's let's have a conversation within Twitter, and then you kind of take it from Twitter to LinkedIn or text or phone call or a meeting, whatever might come after that. But there's no doubt. I mean, there's a lot of noise in the Twitter app, but it's definitely
Absolutely.
it's used on a daily basis. It's kind of crazy. So if you were to look at your phone right now, what is the one app in your phone that's most important to you?
I would say my mail app and my calendar.
Simple, just like
And those
everything else
two
that you've
apps,
done. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, so two most important
Now, are you using? I asked this because I've just changed my stuff around a little bit. I actually am using. We have the Outlook 365 or the Microsoft Office 365, and I've been impressed with their apps that they have for the iPhone. I still use the
Really?
Mail app. I was shocked because I use Apple, so I was like, I would tell Shane,
Right.
who's my business partner, and he loves Microsoft. I love Apple, so we always laugh and argue about it. And I was like, you know what? Now that we have this enterprise and it's a lot easier to get on there, I'm using Outlook and I really like it. I gotta say, I really like it. I'm assuming you're using the iOS, the Apple apps. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So anyway, it's just something to consider. I don't know. I like it all, and but it's interesting. There's a lot of apps out there that you can use, and I would agree that the calendar and the email app, the mail app on a phone are pretty important, no matter where you are and what you're doing. So you're an entrepreneur. You're making some things happen. What is one thing you would tell another up-and-coming entrepreneur to focus on?
That's a good question. I think that I would focus on marketing. I think that marketing is important in terms of getting people out, kind of getting your name out there and being able to actually get people to see who you are and what you do.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We wouldn't argue with that because as we do a lot of marketing, we would agree it's very important.
Yes.
I think sales is important, like a lot of these different things. But if you were to look at, let's just say, marketing and sales, I don't think you can have one without the other. And a lot of times
Right.
marketing can come first, and you still have to be sales. You have to develop business. But yeah, that's a good one for sure. So I know there are many people, but if we could identify one person on this podcast that's helped you get you where you are today, who would that be?
I think that it would be that's a really good question. On this podcast, I think it would be I mean you guys. I mean, I think that you guys have helped me out in terms of like kind of getting my voice out there, helping with my story.
Yeah, well, that's another good answer. So hopefully, good question, good answer. We did not pay him to say that. I just have to just full disclosure, right? No, we appreciate it. But really, it's more than anything. It's just working with good people and talking with good people. That's all we do.
Correct.
We've had these conversations with many people that we've worked with internally and externally. Is we just want to have conversations with business owners. And then, if you happen to be like yourself, Eric, and you're this entrepreneur and you have this attitude of this. This growing attitude that you want to learn more, you want to do more, you want to truly help people. Like, we just want to associate ourselves with it. Like, we want to go along for your ride. Like, that's what we think is cool. So appreciate you saying that, but really it's about you, the entrepreneur, doing what you're doing, and us just saying, hey, let us help you tell that story. Let us give you a platform so where you can hopefully your business is gain something from this podcast, gain something from talking to us, and that's pretty awesome stuff. So I'm sure you have a lot of passions. You're into physical fitness. Are you a sports fan?
I am
You are a sports
very
fan. All
much
right.
so.
So this is a question I like to ask. We've kind of been picking this one up lately, but if you could only pick one sports team to root for, what team would that be?
The audience might not like this, but
Yeah.
the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, wow.
The Green Bay Packers is my team.
How did you become a Packer fan?
You know, that's a good question. I think that when I was around 12 years old, my dad told me, "Hey, son. I can't force you to become any fan for a particular team, so you have to pick your own. So I went down to my good old dial-up internet way back when and went to the Packers, you know, went to all the football teams and picked the Packers.
Yeah, I love that. I, you know what, and I've told my son, I have three kids and two girls, but like my oldest is he's a boy, and I'm from Buffalo, New York. And I was like, you don't, as he got old enough, I was like, you don't have to be a Bills fan. Like, don't do this to yourself. It's not worth it. I'm telling you, just because I'm an idiot doesn't mean you have to be too. And he likes the Bills. He likes the Panthers too, because he was born in Charlotte. But no, I think that's cool. I think there's a lot of stories behind like how people became fans of a team. You know, I had teams that I was a fan of when I was a kid, and it's just because I remember my mom got me like a sweatshirt or I got a hat, and it's like, boom, off you go. You're like 6 years old. You don't remember how it became, but you just became a fan. And I think your story of going on the dial-up internet and picking the Green Bay Packers out of it, I think that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Is Aaron Rodgers coming back this year?
I hope so, man. I think he's coming back the Panthers game. So
yeah, that'd be cool. So I don't know. This podcast might air after that, so this is like a little foreshadowing. So by the time this comes out, Aaron Rodgers will have won probably two games maybe, and maybe he gets him in the playoffs. If not, it's just good to have Aaron Rodgers back, because if he's not the best, he's one of the best. And
yeah,
he's gonna watch.
I would say so.
Yeah.
My Christmas present is for them to win the Super Bowl, right?
There you go. Every year probably, right? But you know what? At least they compete every year. They're out there and they have fun games to watch. Good fan base too. That's another good thing about the Packers is
very much so.
I know a lot. Any fan that I know as a Packer fan is a good person. So always good to talk Packer football. So that's awesome. Well, Eric, it has been great to have you on this podcast. I want to let you have the final words of encouragement for the audience in general, and then follow that up with how people can connect with you, social, probably maybe Instagram or email. Let us know that.
Absolutely. I think the last advice I'd say for the audience is I think keep learning. I think a lot of times we don't realize what we need, but, you know, ask people exactly, you know, what you need and how to actually improve in a particular area. For example, let's say you want to lose weight, and ask around, you know, ask who the specialists are in your area. I think that's the best way. I think Facebook is a really good way to do that as well. You know, recommendations, and really just ask around, and don't be afraid to, you know, ask for help. And I think a lot of times there are a lot of people out there that are specialists that really do want to help you. And I think that they're not, you know, known, or they're not getting business because a lot of times they're not out there. So what I would say is just continue to learn and continue to grow, and really ask for help if you need it, and be willing to learn and willing to grow in that area. And how to contact me would be through my website called xphysconditioning.com. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. And my number is, should be 980-297-5979. Text and call. Thank you.
That's excellent. Eric, well, thank you so much for spending time with us today, giving us great insight into habits and working hard and keeping moving. And it's 11:30 over here. It's raining outside, but maybe we'll, just in your honor, we'll take a walk for lunch today. So
there you go.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks again for spending the time.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Eric, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From the nonstop learning, to his insights into eating habits, to the inspiration he brings to his clients, Eric is an incredible example of how to truly help others. The perspectives he brings as a fitness trainer and entrepreneur are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, Eric, thank you. And for any individual looking to learn more about getting on a fitness track, I would encourage you to reach out to Eric. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can contact me on Twitter at Eric_Kaz, or with the same name on Instagram, or you can find us at KazSource.com with links to us on the different social networks. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneurial Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. CASCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at CASSource to you. Learn more by visiting CASCM.com.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.